Well, we have come to celebrate Christmas together, and it's always a joy to celebrate with you. I'd like to personally thank all of you this last year as we reflect back on this year and just the giving that you folks have shown in our budget and above that when we've taken missionary trips. The heart of this church is to give, and I'm so appreciative of you as a congregation and your willingness to do that. And this morning we're going to talk about giving. And you might say, well, I haven't been here that long, or maybe you've been here too long, and you're saying to yourself, preachers always talk about money. Well, this morning I'm not going to talk just about money. But you know, money is always a good test of what we spend our money on and what we give our money to, and you know that Jesus talked a lot about money. But I want to talk about the whole philosophy this morning of giving and having a giving heart. With your money and with your life, your time, whatever you have, whatever resource you have, we want to give it to the Lord and use it for the Lord and for His glory. So this morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you have one. If you don't, there's a Bible on the back side of the pew for you. And I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. And Paul is going to remind them of some things that are very important to him and to them. Just to sum up this farewell speech given by Paul is that he begins this by saying how he was committed to them, how he taught them daily, house to house, as he was teaching them about the Lord, and how he committed his life to them over a course of a couple of years. And then he warns them about how savage wolves are going to come in after he leaves. And he didn't want the congregation to be unprotected. He didn't want the church at Ephesus to be vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one. And so he's going to warn them about that. And then as he comes to the conclusion of his farewell address, he begins in verse 32 to say this. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know what these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would not see his face anymore. And they accompanied him to the ship. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the statement that Paul said concerning you, Lord Jesus, that is more blessed to give than to receive. And we pray this morning that we as your people once again realize how we've been blessed beyond measure and how through the greatest gift of all, the indescribable gift, Jesus Christ, enriches our lives and gives to us far more than we can even enter into this morning. So, Father, we pray that you'd bless your word as it goes forth from this pulpit and from this text this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to give you six reasons why it is more blessed to give than to receive this morning from the Scriptures. And I'm going to focus primarily on the New Testament. Although it's also in the Old Testament, I want to focus primarily on the words of the Lord Jesus and on Paul. The first reason I want to give you for giving is that it's a response to the Lord's command. When you read through the Scriptures, you're going to notice that many times the phrases that are coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus or through Paul are in the imperative mood. And what that mood says is that it's a command. It's not an option. It's something we should do. And Jesus wants us to follow his commandments. Now, why would that be a good thing to follow Jesus' commandments? Well, it's my understanding that God has created us. God knows what's good for us. And God wants to spare us from the things that can hurt and harm us. God wants our lives to be full of joy and his peace. And God wants you and me to experience life abundantly and fully in him. And there's so many things in this life that can distract us and pull us away from all of that. Even this Christmas season, one of the common complaints that I hear as a pastor is that life gets so crazy at Christmas. And I remember when my wife and I were first married, that my family would always celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. Her family would always celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day. So we'd go to my house on Christmas Eve and then her house on Christmas Day, and it always seemed kind of hectic. Well, as I've gotten older, my wife and I, as we have gotten older, we tend to go to our son's place in the Twin Cities and celebrate with him and our two beautiful grandchildren, Mackenzie and Brody. And that's where we were for the last couple of days. And Christmas was a blessing to be with them. And when you think about it, Christmas is really spending time with your family and spending time with the loved ones that, God has surrounded you with. And without that, I know Christmas can be very hurtful at times. And so we were there for a couple of days, and it seemed like it went so quickly. And we brought presents, of course. And we celebrate this tradition that I suspect most of you do, and that is you exchange gifts. You're going to give someone a gift, and then they're going to give you a gift back. If you've ever wondered where this tradition came from, it really didn't come from the Bible. It came from some paganism, if you want to be really truthful about it. When you read history, there were certain festivals that would take place during this time, and they had developed traditions, and in some of their traditions, they would give gifts. Well, I think for us as believers, we always go back to the Magi, and when they brought gifts to the Lord. And you remember that, frankincense, myrrh, and what's the other one? Gold. You can't forget that one. And so I think for us as believers, we exchange gifts, I hope, because we look at the scriptures and they brought gifts to the Lord. But how many of you brought a gift to Jesus today? It's his birthday. Did you know that? We just celebrated his birthday back there in the gymnasium. We had a birthday cake and we sang happy birthday to Jesus. Well, when you think about that, Jesus has always been. But his birthday really is his entrance into our world. When he was born as a baby, when he left heaven and came down to us, he took upon himself flesh and was made in our likeness. That's what we're celebrating, the incarnation of our Savior, Jesus coming to us. And he came with a purpose and a mission. And you know what that purpose and mission is to save us and to give us eternal life. So getting back to receiving and giving gifts, it's like most of us like to get. And I can remember one of the first questions that usually one of my friends would ask me when I was young, well, what did you get for Christmas? And I ran around with some friends that their parents had lots of money, and my family didn't have lots of money. So I hated to answer that question, because I'd ask one of my friends whose parents had more money than they knew what to do with, and what did you get for Christmas? Oh, I got, and they'd go off on listing all of these things that they got. And my parents usually gave us one gift, and that was all they could basically afford. And it was usually a pretty good gift, but it was only one. And when I reflect back on my childhood, I think the best gift I ever got was when I was in college, and I was singing and learning to sing, and the group that I was meeting with on a weekly basis said to me, you know, Stan, we've heard your voice. Why don't you lead singing? And I thought, well, I've never done anything like that before. I'm not a worship leader. And they said, yeah, but why don't you get a guitar and learn how to play the guitar? And I thought, well, maybe I can do that. So the best gift that I ever received from my parents was a guitar when I was, I think, about a sophomore at college. So, and I learned to play it, and I still play it, and it brings a lot of enjoyment. Not the one that they gave me. I've upgraded a little bit. And that's not to say the guitar that they bought me wasn't the best guitar, but it was a starter guitar. And but answering that question, what did you get for Christmas? Has everyone ever asked you that? Shouldn't they ask you this question? What did you give for Christmas? What did you give rather than what did you get? Our human instinct is all about getting, until it's radically changed by the Lord Jesus Christ typically, because we are born from day one and our attitude is, what's in it for me? What can I get? And what would you give me? And so this morning we want to talk about giving and how the Lord has given so much to us. And so the first thing that we understand is that the Lord commands us to give. And look at Luke 6:38. And I don't know if it's up there for you. It is. Good. So follow along as I read this. Give, and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Again, Jesus is commanding us to give. And in this particular verse, it's talking about money. It's talking about sharing your money, giving your money to others. Because what measure you measure out is going to be measured back to you. And I want you to understand some imagery here as we look at what Jesus is saying, because this was something that they understood instantly in their culture. The idea of pouring blessings into our laps comes from the ancient Middle Eastern grain market. So Jesus is really using an illustration here about grain. People would go into the grain market to purchase literally a lap full of grain. The loose material of their garments extended all the way to the ground and was belted at the waist with a sash. And when they went into the grain market, they would simply pull up some of that garment, looping it through the sash to create a huge pocket. And the grain would be dumped into the makeshift pouch, literally filling their laps. Wouldn't that be an interesting way to go shopping? They have this long thing and then pull it up and belt it and then say, fill it up. I don't think that would be easy to truck home with a couple of bushels of grain. And that's what God is saying to you and to me this morning. Give and it'll be given to you, pressed down, shaken, and spilling over. Do you believe that? Do you believe God is the ultimate giver? I do. And so when God says to give, I want to give with what He has given to me. And I want to pause right now and just thank you. I want to thank this church for the giving that you have shown over my tenure here, especially in the last year. As we look back over our budget and as we look at the mission trips that we have taken, you folks have responded so liberally. Can I use that word? Liberally, generously. And it's just been phenomenal how you have gotten behind all of the things here at this church. Whenever we've asked for your help, you have given. And I want to brag about you in that respect, because I believe it's an indication of where your heart is. That when the Lord says for you to give, you're willing to look at it and pray about it and then give as the Lord directs you. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I also thank you, if you remember in October, that they had Pastor Appreciation Sunday and some of you gave. In fact, you want to send my wife and I on another trip. And a round trip, not just a one-way trip. So I'm very thankful about that. And you've given so generously to that. And my wife and I thank you for that. We're not going to take one, you know, this winter, but we are anticipating one the next winter. So, but thank you. Thank you for your generosity and goodness to my wife and I from the bottom of our hearts. Now, as we look at giving, we also want to understand that we want to submit to Jesus' lordship. John 14:15 says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is what we call a test, litmus test. What's that? It means it's a defining thing. If you say you love the Lord, then respond to His lordship. What does lordship mean? It means that He's the master of your life. He's the one that you're living for. He's the one who controls your life. You look to Him and you say, "Lord, I want to please You most of all because You're my Savior and my Lord." No one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. And I hope this morning that you who have come here recognize Jesus as your Savior, but also as your Lord. He is Lord of all, and He wants to be Lord of your life and my life. And so we need to submit to that lordship and say, "Yes, Lord, I will do what You want me to do." Thirdly, giving exhibits God's heart. If you ever want to get a glimpse of God's heart, just search through the Scriptures and see all that He has given. And He continues to give. He never stops giving. We understand from James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, and He is the giver of every gift. You know, when you think about that, usually we think in material things when you get a gift. But do you realize how many gifts God has given you already this morning? And I don't know if you've thanked Him for those gifts. The first gift is your health. Did you get up this morning and feel good? I know some of you hate mornings, so you'll never feel good in the morning. But maybe by the afternoon, you'll feel better. But think about it. Think of your health. You know, my health has been extended by gifts. Gifts from God. You know, I have a new hip, and I have a pacemaker that keeps me going. Other than that, you know, I have a lot of other things that I have too. But those are wonderful gifts that God has allowed me to have a sense of health. You know, how about relationships? Husbands and wives, do you realize that you are a gift to each other? You're a gift to each other? Would you agree with that? We need some married couples here to go, "That's right, Pastor. We're a gift to each other." We're not enemies. You're a gift to each other. The Bible says in Proverbs 31 that who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far more valuable than rubies. For she does her husband good all of her days and not evil. She does her husband good all of her days and not evil. You know, I've been involved in many marriage counseling situations, and I've seen couples that start out well, but they don't finish very well. And they begin to view their partner as the enemy. And what a tragedy that is. God has given you a gift, if you're married today, and that gift is your spouse. Then how should you treat a gift? TLC, because it's a very fragile gift. And it can easily be broken. So just be reminded of that. And thank God for it. Our health, our relationships. How about children? Are children a gift from the Lord? Sometimes. Sometimes we look at our children and we're so thankful and we just, oh. I tell you what, if you can live long enough to be a grandparent, you know, it even gets better with your grandkids. I know you've heard that, but it's true. I mean, we spent a couple of days there with my grandchildren, and they just love on us, and what a blessing it is to be around them and to be encouraged by their love and encouraged by their concern for Grandpa and Grandma. Children, the Bible says children are a reward, are a gift. See, you can just go on and on and on, but the most important gift is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Do you know what gift I'm talking about? Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the indescribable gift. And I'm thankful that God sent His Son into the world, which illustrates His salvation to you and me. God giving us salvation. John 3:16, a verse that all of us know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a gift! "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Did you hear that? A gift. God wants to give you the best gift ever, and that's His Son. And God the Father is holding out His Son to you, and He is saying this to you today. "Here's my Son. He's my gift to you." What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Him? Are you going to take Him and receive Him as your Savior and as your Lord? Or are you going to reject Him? You say, "Well, Pastor, how do I receive Him?" It's not a complicated thing. Do you know what you have to do to receive the Lord? First of all, you just have to understand who He is. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Savior of the world. He died on the cross to save you and for me. The reason why he died on the cross was to pay for your sin and my sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He ascended into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And he says, the word says, whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. So what do you have to do to be saved? Call upon the Lord. What does it mean to call? Well, it's not this. It's, Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm lost in my sin and I cannot save myself. I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me of my sin. And I now place my trust and my faith and my hope in you, Jesus. I want you to save me. And he'll save you. He saved me. And he'll save you if you will simply ask him to do that for you. What a gift. Can you think of any greater gift than your salvation? I can't. Because without that gift, we'd be eternally condemned. Eternally condemned to a place called hell without that gift of Christ. And Jesus came to save us, deliver us from that horrible, horrible place. Last week before I went to the cities, I got a call. And it was a tough call. Probably one of the toughest calls I've ever received in the ministry. Jeff Wisdom, who is a professor at Oak Hills, called me, I believe it was Wednesday evening, I don't even remember, maybe Thursday afternoon, I'm not quite sure. I think it was Thursday afternoon before we left for the Twin Cities, and he said, Pastor Stan, he said, I have some really bad news, and he could barely talk. He said, my son, they have four children. He said, my son Tim committed suicide. And he said, I was wondering if your church would host my son's funeral. Jeff Wisdom is a professor, like I said, at Oak Hills, but he also pastors a very small church just north of Itasca State Park. It's called Itasca Community Church now, I believe, just a small one of those white-type country churches. And it wouldn't be large enough for the funeral. And so he was asking if he could use our facility, and I said, there's no problem with that. I said, be more than willing to help you out. And then he said, well, Stan, I've always considered you as my pastor. Would you perform the funeral? And my heart just sank. But God's given me this opportunity to do it. And I want to honor the life of Tim, but I also want to share the hope that we have in Christ. And I don't know everything about his life. He was living out east when he took his life. A very gifted musician, just a really intelligent guy, and had everything to live for. But he is overwhelmed with something and decided to take his life. And you can imagine how horrific that has hit his parents at Christmas in the new year. So I'd like you to pray for our funeral. The funeral is going to be 10 o'clock this coming Saturday morning. And if you think of me, would you just pray for the funeral? Pray that Christ would be lifted up and glorified. And pray that God will give me the words to say. You know, what can you say? What can you say to two parents who have just lost a child through suicide? And my hope is that this young man had placed his hope in Christ before he stepped into eternity. That is my hope and prayer. Salvation is such a wonderful thing that God has done for us. And that's the message at Christmas, that Jesus came to save us from our sins. And then fifthly, as we look at giving, we want to trust God's provision. You know, God says that he'll supply all of our needs, and he will. Doesn't supply all of our wants. Have you ever made a Christmas list of all the things you want? Did you ever get everything on that list you wanted? You didn't, did you, Billy? That's because you got a long list, brother. You got to shorten the list. Just ask for one or two things. I know in my life, it seems like as I've gotten older, you know, the gifts are on they're on the wayside. They're not the most important thing anymore. You know, I'm at a point in my life that, you know, I don't need you to give it to me. I can probably maybe go out and buy it, put it on layaway or something. You know, I mean, that's just the reality where I am in my life. So when I think about all of this, and I think about what's going on in the world today, and I think about God providing for us, I know that He will. I've seen this in my life. I have seen as I have given, God has given to me. And He provides for my needs, not my wants, but my needs. And that's what He's promised to do. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So He will provide for us, and we can trust Him that He will do that. And then finally this morning, as we think of giving, I want to talk about how giving brings temporal and eternal rewards. All of you realize that one day we're going to stand before the Lord. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And everything that we've done, whether good or bad, is going to be examined. And what we've done for the Lord is going to be rewarded. That's the reality we all face as a believer. God has given you resources. He's given you a life. And He wants you to use that life for Him. And one day we're going to stand before Him. And we're going to be accountable to Him. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but I know what it does for me. It sobers me up. It helps me put my life in perspective when I look at things and I look at what I need to give my life to. And I hope it does that for you also. There is a day of reckoning for all of us as we stand before the Lord and give an account of what we have done with what He has given to us. I'm going to read some verses here from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 because I think it's important that we understand some of the principles laid out here. So just please follow along. Are all of these on, Scott? So I'm going to start here with, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. The actual translation here is a hilarious giver. God loves a hilarious giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Have you ever wondered why God gives you an abundance sometimes, maybe more than you budgeted? It's an opportunity to give. And give it to the Lord. Give it to those who around you might need it. Share it. Part of the Christmas spirit is giving. Do you know that Salvation Army probably gets most of its income during the Christmas season? Isn't that right, Gene? They do here. What's our budget right now in this community, Gene? $40,000. And so when you hear that bell out there ringing, are you still ringing today? You stopped? You're done. Okay? But imagine that, Salvation Army. Did you pass any of those kettles this season? Did you put anything in them? All right. Gene, did you notice who nodded their head? And who didn't? Amen. Is that something to be happy about? We have bell ringers in this church who stand out there. Now, I didn't do it this year. Gene had mercy on me because I came back from Guatemala and I was so sick. I don't think he wanted to put me out there and put me in the hospital after that. So I wasn't out there ringing the bell. But I think that's phenomenal that our church family, with the bell ringers that we put out around the town, were able to accumulate over $10,000. And there's not an agency like the Salvation Army. They're there. They're on the street, and they help with so many of the basic necessities of life. And so praise God. That's something to rejoice in and to thank God for. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. This is God who is giving. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed which you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. See, here's the situation. Here's the background to this. The church at Corinth had said they were going to take an offering for the saints who were at Jerusalem. And the reason why the saints at Jerusalem were down and out is because they were facing persecution. They had come to faith in Christ, and many of their fellow Jews didn't appreciate that. And so they'd had a hard time keeping jobs and holding down jobs. And so they were in need of some financial assistance. And the church at Corinth said they were going to provide for them. And Paul, in the first part of this chapter, is exhorting them to follow through on the gift that they had promised to give to the saints at Jerusalem. And he is saying, when you give that gift to those saints in Jerusalem, there's going to be thanksgiving to God on your behalf. Isn't it great to know that we as a church body, when you gave to that mission trip in Guatemala, when we were able to build those houses and we were able to give them food and clothing, that they were giving thanks to God because of you. Isn't that encouraging? Come on, isn't that encouraging? That they're giving thanks to God because of you, your gift to them? It was for me as I was involved in it firsthand. It was such a blessing to be there and to be part of that whole experience. And I trust, you know, we're looking at next year. We're talking about maybe another trip to Guatemala. Justin just got back from India. What a blessing it was for him. And over there in India, they really do Christmas well, don't they, Justin? Come on up here, brother, as we close. Come on up. I know I think you're awake, aren't you? All right. Are you okay? Okay. We picked him up in the Twin Cities. Well, I shouldn't say we picked him up. They were able to come over to my son's house. And they used this taxi service called what, Justin? Uber. And so they got to my son's place, and we were able to give him some prime rib and some. And they appreciated that after eating nothing but chicken and curry. They finally got to eat some beef. Yeah, you're welcome. So they got over there, and we had the ride home, and they were up for about 50 hours on this trip without sleep. 50 hours without sleep to get home. But they were rejoicing. They were sharing some of the stories about what God had done over there. And again, our church is part of that because we support VJ, Reach All Nations. We're part of that. We give him a monthly support. And that's something to rejoice about, to hear what God is doing with your faithfulness and with your giving. It thrills me as a pastor to see your response to these needs and to see your obedience to Christ. And I trust it'll never change. We're not here to fleece you. As one pastor said, you know, our job is to fleece the flock. No, we're not here to fleece you. I know you've heard that from other people on television and maybe other churches. I had this one person say to me, you know, I get so sick and tired of pastors always talking about money. Well, I hardly ever talk about it. This is probably the first time in a long time I've even talked about money. So you can't accuse me of that. I don't talk a lot about it. And the reason why I don't talk a lot about it is because it's something between you and the Lord, not between you and me. I don't care how much you give or how much you don't give. That's something you're going to have to answer for. It's your stewardship. God's committed it to you. And I want to exhort you as your pastor to obey the Lord and to do what the Lord tells you to do. In fact, he says in Malachi, he says, you want to test me? You want to test me with a tithe? He said, you're going to lose because whatever you give is going to come back in multiplication. That's the way he operates. He is a great God. I love what this old deacon used to say in our church, and here, Roxy knows it's coming. It's her father. When I came here, her father was a deacon in this church. His name was George Butler. Some of you remember George Butler. Some of you don't because long gone. I think he died in 1997, my second year here. Anyway, George came into my office one day and he said, you know, Pastor, he said, isn't it great to give to God? And I go, yeah, it is. You see, I give too. I want you to know that. I, as your pastor, give too. I'm not a taker. I'm also a giver. And so he said to me, Pastor, always remember this. God has a bigger shovel than you. Okay? God has a bigger shovel than I have. And what he was saying is, you can't outgive God. So may we continue to be obedient to the commands that Christ gives us. And may we one day hear from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen? Amen. Well, my plea with you, if you do not know Christ this Christmas season, receive him as your gift. Receive Christ as your Savior. If you know him, my admonition, my exhortation to you is, let's please Christ. Let's please him, because he came to please us and to take our sin upon himself. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning for your word, and we thank you for example. We thank you for Jesus, who came and gave and gave and gave. We realize that he gave his life ultimately for us, and we thank you for that precious gift. And Lord, we also thank you this morning for this congregation and for those who call this their church home, and just their giving, Lord. We just thank you that they love you and they want to give to missions and they want to give to the local church here. Lord, we thank you for that. And may we continue to keep our eyes on Jesus throughout the year and this evening and tomorrow as we celebrate his entrance into our world. We thank you in his name. Amen.